It is a tremendous blessing and honor to see your friends and to be with you and to gather to worship you. It's a very encouraging scene I see right now, and I'm very delighted to be with you and very grateful for your faith that has brought you out. And we have visitors as usual, and we're very grateful for you as well. And so it's a real blessing for us to be here. As we read just a while ago, where the Bible does talk about, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. And in the process of that, He says, when you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. And you'd be amazed if you look it up sometime, how many times the Bible talks about being blessed and how many times the Bible talks about being happy. And I think if we were to analyze what most people want, I think people as a whole, all of God's creation, we all want to be happy. We all want to live a life that's satisfying, as if we're living a meaningful life. And that's not a vain pursuit. Solomon, many years ago, as a man of God, began to look around and use that wisdom to test life, to see what's the most rewarding life a person can live, what's the best life a person can live that would bring the most satisfaction and to find happiness in this world. And so he began to test everything, is what he talks about in Ecclesiastes, especially in chapter 2. He says he turns with his wisdom and he begins to look at everything under the sun that we can do in life. And of course, he had resources without limits, and he was testing everything, and his conclusion was, it's just not here. That if you're going to make this world your God, you're going to be disappointed, because he says, I looked on all the works that my hands had done, and on the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed, all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. I mean, what would it be like to try and grab a handful of wind? I mean, if you open your hand right now, what do you have? Nothing, right? Well, you try to grab a handful of wind, okay? What do you have now? Nothing. It has accomplished nothing. It's at the very same thing. You're at the same point you were after all that effort. You still have nothing of substance in your hand. And he's simply saying that if you're going to live only for this world, you're going to be disappointed because it's not here. And he said, you cannot outdo me. You cannot outdo me in applying this test, because I looked at everything. He says in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 1, I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure, but surely this also was vanity. I mean, what if you could just be entertained all day long? You think you'd be whole? You think you'd be happy? You think you would find lasting happiness if you were just entertained all the day? And we can look around and see that even those who entertain us couldn't find that. The people who are supposed to be the happiest in the world, who make us happy, are not happy. And they're struggling as well, because life happens to all of us. And we can see that. And that's what he's saying here. If you just think, well, if I could just sit back and feel good all day long, I'd finally have a life that's meaningful. No. I've done that. I've tested that. He said, of laughter, it's madness. And of mirth, what does it accomplish? Nothing. Nothing. There's nothing of substance in that. He said, well, in Ecclesiastes 2, I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine while guiding my heart with wisdom. Well, maybe if I had the right drug, maybe if I had the right pill, maybe if I had the right beverage, as he's saying right here, I'd finally find something to make me happy. If I could just find the right stimulant to put me in the right mood. I did that. I searched it out with wisdom and to see what was good for the sons of men under the heaven all the days of their lives. So that's not it either. It's not going to be found in a pill. It's not going to be found in a bottle. Lasting happiness is not going to be found in some drug, as we are led to believe. Well, maybe if I just started building stuff. Maybe if I had a house of what I've always wanted. Maybe if I had several houses like that. Maybe if I started building structures and accomplishing things like that, maybe I will find something to make me whole. He says in verse 4, Ecclesiastes 2, I made my works great I built myself houses. I planted vineyards. He says, I made myself gardens and orchards. I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made myself water pools from which to water the growing trees of the grove. And you know these houses he built were not little two-room shacks. You know these things were mansions. These were massive structures. And we might think, well, if I could just have the house of my dreams and have several of these houses, I'd finally be happy. I'd finally be whole. And he said, look, I had all that. I was doing good things in this world. I was planting gardens. I was coming up with unique ways of watering these things. I mean, we were using high tech here, accomplishing unique things. He said, I acquired male and female servants. Well, maybe that's it. Maybe if I had people, if I just rang the bell, they would come and do anything I wanted. Maybe then I'd finally be whole. Maybe then I'd be happy. He said, I had them. Male or female servants. I had servants born in my house. I had plenty of these people around me. Anything I wanted, they were there to give it to me. I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem before me. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the special treasures of kings and of provinces. I acquired male and female singers. He could listen to any music he wanted. He had satellite radio. Just click the button. Any band he wanted performing before him, boom, there they were, right there. All he had to do was just ring the bell, and they were there. He had anything he wanted. The delights of the sons of men, the musical instruments of all kinds. And his point is, look, you cannot outdo me. If you go through this same endeavor yourself, all you're going to find is you've just circled the same track. You've stepped in the same steps. He says in verse 12, what can the man do who succeeds the king? Only what has already been done. You're not going to find a different result. And you must not think, well, Solomon, if you had just a few more millions coming in, I mean, if he had just a little bit more gold coming in, if you had just a few more servants, if you had just a few more houses, if you had just a few more properties, then you would finally be whole, you would finally be satisfied. He'd laugh at you. He'd laugh at you because he was living in opulence. And I don't know, I don't think this was his place. I'm just saying that's what opulence looks like. I have to go online to look for it. And that's what it looks like. And he had royalty. He had excess. He had wealth. And he's simply saying, look, friends, if you think you're going to find something whole in these things, you're misled. But he does show us some things that can help us in finding happiness on earth. That we can find a life that is blessed. We can find a life that is meaningful. If we look in the right places, if we have the right perspective, and if we reach the right conclusions. And as he talks about in Ecclesiastes, he says one thing you have to understand if you're going to look for a meaningful life is, number one, you have to understand it's not in stuff. You must get this out of your head that if I had more stuff, I'd finally be whole. It's not in stuff. It's not in things. That's the whole point he's trying to make through all of this. I had everything. And it's not there. And in fact, he goes on to say in chapter 2 that even if you can find something within stuff, the futility of it is you have to leave it. You can't hold on to it. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, he says in verse 18, I hated all my labor in which I had toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool. Yet he will rule over all my labor in which I had toiled and in which I have shown myself wise under the sun. This also is vanity. It does take wisdom. It takes understanding. It takes insight. It takes knowledge in how to acquire and to hold on to these things. And he says, but the frustration is that when you die, somebody who did not apply themselves is going to have a total control over your stuff. Absolute control over it. He says, I turned my heart, in verse 20, and despaired of all the labor in which I had toiled under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, yet he must leave his heritage to a man who has not labored for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. For what has man for all his labor and for the striving under his heart, or striving of his heart with which he has toiled under the sun. For all his days are sorrowful, and his work burdensome. Even in the night his heart takes no rest. This also is vanity. When we do that, we think of the future, we think of preparing for ourselves, we think of how to improve our situation, and we learn how to do that, we apply the knowledge, we have the skill to do that. We stay up at night worried about acquiring it and then keeping it. That's what he's talking about here. You go through all that exercise, and then when you die, it's as if you stuck your finger in a pool of water and you pull it out. How big is the hole when you pull your finger out? How big is that hole? And of course it's as if you were never there. And that's he said, it's as if I was never here. Because somebody else is going to have absolute control over all these things. And so we have to separate ourselves from the thinking, okay, well, if I had just a few more items, I'd finally be... No. He says, don't go that route. Don't even go that path. And the real reason why you can't do that is because you're a spiritual being. You're a spiritual being in a physical world, and this world cannot complete you. You have this image within you, and nothing physical can fill that, can complete that. He says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11, speaking of God, again talking about this exercise God's given all of us, this challenge, this journey. But he says in verse 11, He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. There's always this yearning for more. There's always this yearning for, well, what else is there? What else is out there? What else can I find? Because all that I found so far is not it. And he's simply saying, God's made us this way. And so let us just dismiss the idea. Well, if I just had a few more houses. And Solomon would laugh at you. But we could look around and see in this world that that's not it. I mean, I showed you a picture of Robin Williams, the comedian who took his life a few years ago. Very sad story. But he was a wealthy man. Famous man. He left this world with houses. Nice houses at that. Here are a couple of places right here in San Francisco. And these are nice out. Who would not want this? We all would like to have something like that. You look at some of his properties. This one was worth $29 million. This one had 5 bedroom and 12 baths. 12 baths? What? Who does that? 5 bedrooms and 12 baths? I mean, what kind of issues do you have where you have to... I need a bathroom there. I need one right there. I need one. Well, obviously it's for entertaining, I would think. 12 baths. Well, here we go. On 650 acres. Well, if I had a property like that, I'd be happy, right? 650 acres, and I would finally find something to make me whole. Apparently it didn't, because he had another house. You know, and look at this home theater he had. This great view he had. All this nice stuff that was his. And yet he took his life. Why? It's not there. If you think that it's there, you're misled. That's what this shows, and that's what Solomon's saying. You have something within you that stuff cannot fill. You have this desire for eternity within you that this stuff cannot fill. And so we have to keep a proper perspective, to use these things, enjoy these things, yes, but to never worship them and certainly never make them our God. You will be disappointed, is what he's saying. So happiness is not in things. Happiness, he goes on to say in Ecclesiastes, is in being content with what you do have. And especially in being satisfied with God. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, notice this in verse 24 through verse 26. Now he's about to show us some stuff right here. You want to find something that means something in life? Well, here's what I'm telling you. And if you look very carefully what he's saying, anybody can do this. No matter who you are, where you are in life, we all can do what he's about to say. We all can. In Ecclesiastes 2, here's what he says in verse 24. Nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw was from the hand of God. For who can eat, or who can have enjoyment more than I? For God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight. But to the sinner, he gives the work of gathering and collecting, that he may give to him who is good before God. This also is vanity and grasping for the wind. Work, is what he's saying, is a blessing. It's a blessing to work. It's a blessing to have a challenge presented to you and to work through that challenge and then to look in the aftermath of accomplishing something. That joy of satisfaction, he's saying that's a gift. That's a gift from God. To be able to eat and to drink and to enjoy these simple pleasures of life, that's a blessing. And then to keep in mind that God rewards those who are good. And he gives us, as it says here, wisdom and knowledge and joy to a person who's good in his sight. And so God gives us the perspective we need to extract the most we can out of life without worshiping this world. It's a beautiful journey. Yes, it has so many challenges, and yes, it has so many obstacles, but when you keep things in proper perspective like that, and you realize that in having tasks before you and accomplishing those, that's a gift. That's a blessing. And simply just hoarding this world will not do it. Came across a neat story of a man who was working, killing himself to death to make an increase. And he realized how miserable he was. And so in the story talked about how he gave away a large sum of that fortune. Gave away $4 million and lived a much simpler life, and he felt so much better for that. That just goes to show again that it's in the ability to serve and to share and to give and to do. That's the good life. That's the blessing. That's where the lasting value is. It's not simply in hoarding and collecting and worshiping the stuff of this world. That is not where it's at. It's in using ourselves and in being used and exerting ourselves. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, notice this in verses 6 through 11, where God is telling us the very same thing. Well, I'll go through verse 10, actually, verses 6 through 10 of 1 Timothy chapter 6, where he says, Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we should be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root to all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Well, that sounds very familiar to what Solomon's saying here. That it's the good person. It's the good person who's rewarded by God and the person who's going to be blessed by God. Okay? But it's the person who uses this world to serve God and other people. That's the joy. And that's the reward. But to simply worship this world, no, you're going to be hurt. You're going to hurt yourself. You're going to be disappointed, is what this is saying. And so that cannot be it. There are certain things we want. There are certain things we pray for and pursue. I don't believe the Bible is condemning that. But if it never happens, it's okay. And why is that? Because we're content. We're godly and we're content. And as long as we have those two things going for us in life, we will always have an abundance of all that we need. We're godly and we're content. And because of that, we don't worship this world. Well, that goes on to another point, and that is that happiness, finding happiness, is in trusting God. Now, I do want to go to another passage in the Bible, and it's one that is popular, yes, especially with younger people. It's one that stood out to me when I first started to study in the Bible on my own, as a 19-year-old, really, just opening the Bible and taking it seriously. But in Proverbs chapter 3, these words stood out years ago, and they still do. In verses 5 and 6 of Proverbs chapter 3, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." And I cannot help but think that that's exactly what a person needs to hear who's going to find a happy life. You got to trust God, and you got to let Him lead you and guide you and define you. That's the meaningful life, and that's the rewarding life, is when you know that you are in sync with your Creator, and it's not my will, but your will be done. And when we start living like that, then of course we're going to be led down paths that do lead to blessings and happiness, as we saw at the first of the sermon. But see, it takes trust. We have to trust Him that He knows what He's doing, and He knows why He has us in the circumstances He does, and that He will lead us through this. And that's what He's saying here. Trust in Him with all your heart. Don't try and lean on your own understanding. Trust God. He'll lead you through this. He'll guide you through this. And He can do a much better job at it than you can, especially on your own. But that takes trust. It takes confidence in Him. Came across this illustration. I think it's pretty powerful. That if you were to take a bar of iron, just say it was $5, straight up that bar by itself, just $5. Well, if you were to take that same bar and make some horseshoes out of it, you could probably get $10 out of it. Same material, just shaped differently. Well, if you go back to that original bar and you continue to shape it, you could shape it into needles and make hundreds of dollars from that same bar of iron. But then if you can go back and take that same bar and refine it even more into the balance wheels of clocks and timepieces, well, then you'd have thousands of dollars from that same material. So what's the point of the illustration? The point is that the more we are refined, the more valuable we become. The more we are refined, the greater worth we have, because we have been shaped more precisely and more carefully. And yet when you look at the Bible's saying the very same thing. We have to trust God as He is shaping us, as He is allowing us to be rebuked and chastened, and as He is allowing us to be tested. In fact, James says, "My brethren, count it all joy in the various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." Well, if you were to look at a hot piece of metal that is being shaped by the blacksmith, it may feel like to that metal that it's being mistreated and it's being abused, yet the end product, right? The end product would have that piece of metal being more valuable. And so it is with us. We have to trust, and that's what he says again, Proverbs 3. You have to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Acknowledge Him. Put your faith in Him first. Seek first the kingdom of heaven. Trust Him. And then trust Him that He knows what He's doing in refining us and in allowing us to be refined. Now, friends, I'm telling you, that's how you find a happy life. That's how you find a meaningful life. When you have that kind of confidence in your Maker, and you're willing to let His Word define your life. Going back to Ecclesiastes, where it says in chapter 3, going back to this, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, notice where he says, "What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, He has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God." And so we have to believe that about God. Well, let me say one last thing on this thought this morning, and that is, to find a life that is meaningful, then we have to be people who are righteous. And there's just no way around this. That if we are going to somehow find a life apart from God and think that we'll have some kind of wholeness to us, that's the devil misleading us. We will be burdened and we will be overwhelmed in living like that. Now, the best life you can live is when you're righteous and godly and holy. And it says in Psalm 37 that the people who do that, people who give their life to God, who lay down their life for Him, then these are the people who get through life successfully. In Psalm 37, notice where it says in verses 3 through 9, and I'll just read parts of these verses, but notice this, Psalm 37, verse 3, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." In verse 7, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his ways." In verse 9, "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." And so from what I gather in looking at that, is yeah, I can take the path of the world and try to live apart from God. Yeah, I can do that. And I can be envious of those who do that. But it's going to lead nowhere. And there won't be any substance to a life like that. But if I'm the person who's going to dedicate his time on earth to serving God, trusting Him, obeying Him, like we talked about in our good study this morning, then that's the path that leads to life and hope and prosperity. And there is just no way around this. That a person who's going to live apart from God, it only leads to burden. And it only leads to sorrow. And yet Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are sorrow and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." I'll give you rest, He says. I'll help you find that peace that you're longing for. You cannot. You're made by God. And the only way you're going to have peace is when you're right with Him. And in fact, that's what Solomon ultimately concludes about his pursuit in life as he's testing life. He says, "Here's what I found, because I've looked everywhere, and there's not another place you can look that I didn't look, because you're going through the same thing I went through." And he says, "Here it is. If you want something that all this time you're swinging that hand around trying to find something and it's just air, well, here's something where you can actually clasp onto. Here's something that you can actually hit that has some substance to it." And he says it's this in Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14. "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." Now, I just have to trust that. That that's the most rewarding life I can find right there, is to seek Him first and to obey Him, to trust Him, to respect Him and keep His command. That's it. And I could live 1,000 years in this world, but if I don't figure that out, then I have not found anything of substance in this life. And I don't care who you are, you will not reach a different conclusion. And the people who see this the most are not only those who have been in this world a long time, but it's the people who leave this world. I'm telling you, I'm convinced as soon as they close their eyes and breathe their last breath, they know this is true immediately, that the only purpose in life was fearing God and walking with Him. And so we hope these thoughts will help you, that if you are looking for a meaningful life like all of us are, then hopefully Solomon's observations will be of comfort to you in realizing, look, yeah, we've got stuff we want, stuff we're trying to accomplish, that's fine. But please don't think that it will somehow make you whole. No. You need God to do that. You need to be right with God if you're going to find lasting happiness in life. And so really it goes back to what Paul said. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I will say rejoice. Find happiness, he's saying, in the Lord. That's where it's at. And obviously, if you're not a child of God, we hope that you will become a child today, that you would obey this beautiful gospel that sets us free from sin by believing that Jesus is the Son of God and acknowledging that before men. Romans 10, 9 and 10. You can believe He is because of the life He lived, the miracles He performed, the way he came into this world from a virgin mother, and all the good things he accomplished, but ultimately dying on the cross and coming back from the dead to redeem us and give us hope. If you're ready to confess that and repent of your sins, Acts 17 and verse 30, and then be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins, Acts 2:38. It says in Galatians 3:28, that's how you get into Christ. And so we hope that you would do that even this day. But if you need